Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
John Lynch, kind enough to join Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. John, we always appreciate the time. First and foremost, thank you for coming on. How are you and the family doing?
We're doing really well. We're making it. And I think, you know, a little bit of silver lining in this, just the quality time that we've gotten together. And I think the kids would tell you that's the case. But all right, enough of this. And, you know, time to get back to normal. We got a couple college kids in their home and you know, a couple more at home. And so that has been fun. But I think, like everyone, kind of yearning for the time when we get back to some sense of normalcy.
No doubt. No doubt, Dean. We do appreciate the time, so thank you for jumping on. I'm fascinated by how you and the Niners moved up and down the draft board throughout Thursday, Friday, and Saturday's proceedings. I want to start with Brandon Ayuk. Take me through the process. You guys are 31st. You've already drafted Javon Kinlaw. You clearly like Ayuk out of Arizona State. At what point did you start thinking you might need to make your way up the board? Take us through that process.
Well, we had a sense going into the draft, just from, you know, kind of the chatter out there and different things we had heard that he was a guy that was going to go in the late teens. And so, you know, at one point, yeah, might we have taken him at 13? Sure. But had he been there at 13, I think we probably would have tried to trade back and get a little bit more, you know, of a haul, because we didn't have a lot of picks. And so once he got by 18 or so, our antennas started going up, and going into the draft, our intention never was to come up at either 13 or 31. It was more likely to get back or stand pat and take players we really liked, or move back and get some more draft picks. So I think the big, you know, I think the point where I said, wow, was when he got past Philly. I was sure Philly was going to pick him at 21. Instead, they took the Rager kid from TCU. Once that happened, you know, I popped on and I said, Kyle, we gotta try to make, to move up. And he said, absolutely. He was all in. And so we kind of mobilized everybody to make their calls around the league. And it was 25. You know, I got in touch with Rick Spielman, and you know, fortunately, they were willing to make a move, because they had just taken a receiver from LSU, Justin Jefferson. So, you know, it worked out really well for us. We used the fourth round pick that we had gotten earlier from moving back one spot before we took Kinlaw as part of that trade. And so to come out with two players we really liked, and two places, two positions that we needed, was something we were very happy about after the first round, and remain that way.
John, how did that work out with Tampa? You know, I know you have a great relationship with Bruce Arians. You know, played against him, and he loves you. Is it relationship based, or and then also when you're thinking about that that how it all took place, how do you judge the need when you're there? If you need a defensive lineman, you need a tackle, you need a receiver, and if everyone's there, how do you guys put that value of which is more a need at that time?
Yeah, well, first of all, good morning, Lo, and it's good to hear your voice, man.
Thanks, John.
But, you know,
love you, buddy.
Yeah, me too. As for that question, you know, I think Tampa came in and they wanted offensive linemen. They made a big investment in Tom Brady, and they want to keep him protected. You know, our situation had kind of presented itself with Joe Staley talking to us the week of. But we felt like that was in our best interest to keep that quiet for a couple of reasons. Number one, there were four really good tackles in this draft, and even beyond that. And in the event that we wanted to take, one of those tackles, say Wirfs at that point, we didn't want someone like Tampa trying to jump us. So, we had done a good job of kind of keeping that quiet. Meanwhile, working on the Trent Williams deal, we felt like we were close enough on that. We felt like we had Kinlaw, we had Ayuk, we had CD Lamb, and we had Wirfs, all guys that we were comfortable taking at 13. So we said the opportunity to move back one spot. The guy who was top of our list was Kinlaw, and we looked at their roster, didn't see them as someone being interested. So we said, why wouldn't we go back one spot? And that's exactly what we did. Now, as for the relationships on that one, you know, because of the virtual nature of this draft, you know, what we did, we kind of split the teams, you know, four ways. I had eight teams. Martin Mayhew had eight. Adam Peters had eight. And Parag Marate. The relationship that came in handy this time was Adam Peters and John Spytek worked together back in the day in Denver. And they were the two that kind of brokered that deal. And then Adam just said, hey, Tampa wants to come up. And so we listened and kind of listened to some other people that were trying to get up to 13. And that was the best deal at the time because we could go back one spot and pretty much ensure ourselves that we get the player we wanted anyway in Kinlaw. So that's kind of the way that went down.
And it's fascinating. And at that point when the trade happens, you had to be pretty confident that the Trent Williams deal was going to come to fruition. And how confident were you in that moment when you were making that trade, knowing that the tackle, your fallback plan, was about to go off the board?
I'd love to say I was really confident, but we were definitely assuming some risk. I just think with the nature of the relationship with the Shanahan family and Dan Snyder, I felt like that might be a big hurdle. And then, you know, I kept having these, you know, going back and forth. Listen, he may not like the Shanahan, but he's not going to let that stand in the way. And then I'd say, wake up, come on. Yeah, of course he will. And so, but again, you go back to relationships. Ron Rivera and I are, we've had a very good relationship over the years. And, I know Ron to be a really man of integrity. And so I had faith that, he would see this through for the right reasons to the extent Amen. He could control it, you know, and he's a good man. And so, I was frustrated because I had told Ron, listen, this has to be done by the time the draft starts. And so we thought we were going to get it there. And then he said, hold on, we got too many teams interested. We're going to wait a day. And so at the time, the answer was I did not know. I felt pretty good that we were in a good spot. But did not know. And it wasn't until day three of the draft where I called him and I could tell right away that it sounded like he wanted to make a deal. And so we were able to do it on day three.
Niners general manager John Lynch joining us here, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. What's the next step with Trent Williams? Part of the issue he had in Washington was that he was looking for a new contract. Are the Niners and Trent Williams representatives in discussions? Is there a plan to try and extend him, or is this going to be a one-year deal and then figure it out down the line?
Well, I think it's that. It's a one-year deal and figure it out. Now, figuring it out, some teams have policies. They don't talk contract during the year. We don't have a hard and fast hard and true policy for that. So we felt like it was important. Just get Trent in the building. We felt that the, what we had to give was worth that, to have that position locked up with a guy who is a exceptional player. And, so we took that leap. And, I always believe that, you know, if you want to try to work to get a guy done, the best way to do that is to get him in the building, get him comfortable with who we are. And I think he'll really like what we have going on here. And we'll kind of let that all play out. But we got Trent, and now we just got to hope we play, because, you know. Yeah.
It's been crazy, man. Hope that we play. I know I was talking to my son. You know, is he still in freaking Houston? They're still not back at school. Don't know what they're going to do with college. Really bizarre. We haven't seen times like this ever, like this, John. But, John, let's go down kind of memory lane. When you think about a guy that you know that you're very fond of, played against, your buddies, your friend, you even went to go play on the team with him, And that Tom Brady. How do you when a guy that you played against, a guy you know you have a relationship, when that, how does that feel? How weird is that when you call or he calls or his representative call to say, hey, let's talk. Let's talk turkey. Did you talk to Tom Brady? How did all that shake out? I know we heard some of your decision, reason why you say, let's go with that guy. I know you got to kick the tires. But how was that conversation with the guy that you know, played against, played with? How did that all shake out?
No, it never did. I mean, you knew Tom. Obviously it was very public that Tom had decided not to play in New England. Now, at that point, we've always known there was an interest of Tom. I mean, he's a Niners fan. He grew up going to Niners games. And, you know, it was pretty natural to know that, hey, he'd want to be back here.
Sure.
So long before, you know, anyone expressed anybody called up and said, hey, he'd be interested, we kind of said, hey, okay, this is really weird and odd. Number one, that arguably one of the greatest players of all time becomes free. And then the fact that there's a connection, Kyle and I looked at each other and just said, hey, you know, is this something we should be looking at? So we did that for about 2 days. We went and started grinding film with Tom, and then Kyle took another day or two, and just, you know, really looked at our season from last year and a bunch of seasons and a bunch of work with Jimmy. And the cool thing is kind of at the same time, we both looked at each other and said, you know what, we've got what we believe to be the long-term answer in our building right now. We felt like it was our duty to take a quick look at Tom, and that this was nothing to disparage him, but that's not going to be a long-term answer. And so we figured, you know what, we did what we think we was the responsible thing to do. We took a good look, but the answer's right here in our building. And I think the coolest thing for us is that we come out of that more convicted in who Jimmy Garoppolo is and what he means to this team than ever before. And, you know, we're pretty straightforward, direct guys. Kyle picked up the phone and told Jimmy that's what we did and told him how excited we were moving forward with him. So, you know, I think a lot of people were wondering why we didn't make a statement about that or anything. Well, we had just talked at the combine. We had just kind of stated the same thing. And that was before Tom became available. But we didn't feel it necessary because we had talked to Jimmy, and that's what's most important, communicating with your players, and we did that all the way through.
Niners GM John Lynch here on 95.7 The Game. One of the imperative things in the offseason is obviously improving the roster completely in all spots, but one area is wide receiver. Questions about Marquise Goodwin, and now he's gone, and you spend draft capital on Brandon Ayuk. How much do you expect Jalen Hurd and Trent Taylor to be able to step into roles vacated by those players who are gone?
Well, there's three players there. I think that we joke around and said had redshirt years. It would be Jalen Hurd, who, you know, we drafted in the third round out of Baylor. Really had a good vision for him playing a little receiver, a little move tight end, and even at times a little running back. We were excited about that. He got this stress reaction in his back, and it just never allowed him to go full bore. Every time he would get close, the thing would flare up on him. So. He took a redshirt year. Trent Taylor had a terrible go with a broken foot. They put some screws in. It got infected. And I feel for the kid. The good news is both those guys are doing well. The third player I would add to that is Dante Pettis. And I know a lot of people have soured on him, but, you know, we haven't. He didn't come to camp ready to play last year physically. And we challenged him. That's got to change because we believe if he does and that he's a guy who can really excel in our offense. So there's three players that we kind of are very excited about, but have to go show that they're ready and prepared to play this year and available for us. So those are three guys in addition to IU that we feel we could take a big jump if they're out there on the field.
John Lynch joining us here on 95.7 The Game. One guy you know you can bank on, tight end George Kittle. What's the latest on the contract extension front when it comes to your star tight end?
Well, you know, we made it an attempt at it early. George is a huge part of this organization. I think you saw it just the other day. He had me in tears, the heartfelt kind of tribute to Joe Staley. And it just speaks to George is usually clowning around and all that. And and has so much fun playing the game, just like Joe. But I think he spoke to who he is as a teammate and why we all love him, aside from him just being an insanely productive and good tight end. So we're very interested. George isn't going anywhere. We're going to work hard to try to get it done. I think they've got motivation just to really reset the tight end market, as do we for him. It's just finding that sweet spot where that is. And, like I said, he's not going to go anywhere. When that happens, I don't know. We're working hard, as are they, to try to make that happen. George is going to be a part of the 49ers for a long, long time.
John, one thing about you, you've always been, whether you're talking to Levy, whether you're talking to, Herm Edwards, you always, express your concerns or compress, hey, this is what we want to do. Hey, and you're a guy that communicates well, which that's what's always loved, being a teammate of yours. When you watch different things and you hear certain things, how about with Kyle Shanahan? When you hear hear the noise, you're not dumb to it or lame numb to it. When you hear, hey, what happened in the Super Bowl? Why not run the ball more? Why make Jimmy try to win the game? When you look at the two games before that, run, all the different things around it. Is it just how do the team combat those talking heads, or when you hear the noise? How do you talk to just Cal players when they feel a certain way? They see certain things as well, because they see things as well. How do you bring everyone back to the same table to understand and get better?
Well, we talked about it right away, Lorenzo, in our exit meeting after the Super Bowl. We quickly did a lot of research and looked at, the percentages of a team who loses the Super Bowl coming back that next year and being in the Super Bowl number one. Those percentages are incredibly low. And then coming back and winning the Super Bowl the following year, those are even lower. And, why did we look at that? Because we have a really good roster, and one that we knew was going to come back. We didn't know to what extent, but we've been able to keep it together for the most part and even give ourselves a chance to improve a little bit. So we wanted to face those things head on. And so we talked about it right away. And, we talked about, why is that? Why do we believe that's a possibility? Because we believe we're different, and we got to go show that. It's one thing to say it. We got to go do it, and we got to do it in our actions and everything that we do and how we conduct ourselves and how we work. And so that was the mindset going into this offseason. Now, this offseason has been different for everyone.
Right.
As you were mentioning earlier, we've never seen times like this. So, again, we've challenged our guys. Listen, there's going to be so many excuses built in. Excuses and reasons as to why, if players come back not ready. But we really believe that we focused on not only bringing in really talented players, but bringing in quality people. And I think that's where this is going to serve us well. Number one, we've got continuity. Our systems have been the same. We've got a lot of players back, returning starters. In addition to that, we think we've got a high quality of character and people that are going to find a way in the midst of challenges. It's really easy to say, well, during the quarantine, I didn't have a way to work out. Well, it's cool. You turn on social media and you see like guys like Juszczyk and them going Rocky style, finding a way to work out, pulling his girlfriend in a sled in the snow. I mean, it's just what you got to do. These are unprecedented times. So, it's a long answer, but that's kind of our mindset as to how we get back. I like the mindset of our team.
Niners GM John Lynch with us here on 95.7. The game Monday is the deadline at midnight for the 2017 draft class. Have you guys made a decision as to whether or not you will pick up the fifth-year option on defensive lineman Solomon Thomas?
We haven't, and we've communicated that with Solomon and his camp. And I think the one thing we shared with him, that was the same thing that we did with Laken Tomlinson, but yet we extended Laken Tomlinson the next year. So I don't think that's any absolute, or it doesn't mean that we don't love Solomon. I think we're incredibly encouraged. Solomon's going to be a big part. We brought in Kinlaw, but everybody who's watched us know we rotate a lot of players there. We believe them going as hard as they can, and then we'll rotate kind of like hockey lines. And Solomon's going to be a big part of that rotation. We've kind of charged him with putting a little weight on. Last year he got really light, which helped in his quickness, but I don't know if he had enough you know, substance, you know, just in terms of weight. And so he's going to come back a little heavier. And we think Solomon played it as we sometimes you go back and study the season. And he quietly, you know, had a really good season last year. And so we expect more out of him this year, and we're excited about him.
John, we'd be remiss if we didn't get your thoughts on Joe Staley, the retirement of the longtime 49er. Just how did that play out with him letting you guys know a week before the draft? And how much will the organization miss Big Joe being in the locker room?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is, you know, football's tough, and I think it's part of the reason people get so passionate about it. But it's just the truth. It's not for everyone. It's hard. And so you need guys like that, just like Lorenzo was in the locker room, guys that even though in the midst of it being its hardest and, you know, in times in the season where everyone's tired, you're going to keep the locker room laughing and realizing, guys, we should be having fun. And that's just the way Joe was. He went about his job and was really good at it, as evidenced by him being, you know, on the all-decade team and just what we saw with our own eyes. But he always kept it fun, and he always kept me smiling, everybody smiling around our place, either singing karaoke or just being a clown. And, you know, he's a unique talent. It's weird to see a left tackle who was also the 200th state champ and, you know, where he grew up. And you know, he could really play. He could really move. But he was a great member of our community. You know, I know for Kyle and I, when we came in here some 4 years ago and we started out 0-8, Joe was a guy who had our back, and it's important that the best players, that the guys with the most weight in the locker room have your back during those times. And he never wavered because he believed in what we were trying to do. And so we'll always be indebted to him. Joe will be a part. We've told him he should always feel welcome to be around. And who knows, down the line, maybe we make that more formal and really make him a part of our organization moving forward, because Joe's just great to be around. And
awesome.
I think embodies what being a 49er is all about.
John Lynch with us here on 95.7 The Game. All right, enough with the easy questions. I know you're a professional and I know you're a family man, but I need you to forget about all that for just a second. News just came out. He'll be 54 next month. Mike Tyson wants to return to the ring at the age of about 54 to fight a charity bout, 3 to 4 pounds. Now, I want to go back in time. I want John Lynch to think about the year when John Lynch was in the best possible shape of his career, when you were the most physically active, when you were absolutely at your peak. Against a 54-year-old Mike Tyson, how much would it cost for you to climb in the ring?
Bonsai.
You couldn't pay me enough.
And John was crazy. And John was crazy. So him saying that.
I was, but man, we're pretty much the same generation. And the way he just used to devastate. I mean, it was amazing that more people didn't get seriously, seriously injured.
Hey, just thinking about it, John, I absolutely totally understand, brother. Hey, John, tell the wife, family, man, I said hello, dad and everyone, I said hello, love you guys, man. Thanks for jumping on the show. Let's do it again soon, brother.
All right, let's do it. You guys be well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.